Notice too that due to this complaint, this is very telling, the apostles are immediately feeling the pressure to abandon their primary priorities. Look what Satan's trying to do here. How much Satan desires to use complaint and conflict to knock the apostles off of the clarity of their calling and the pursuit of dependence upon God and the ministry of the gospel, which is only found through the word of God.
Hi, loved ones, and welcome back to Live in the Light. You've joined us for a very important message in our time for our churches. It's all about priorities today. Acts chapter 6, we're going to see verse 4 saying that our priority as a church, as a people of God, and even as followers of Jesus Christ is to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. What this world needs now more than anything else is devotion to prayer and seeking Jesus Christ through his word, that he would transform us and transform the world around us. As I said when I started, a hugely important message. Let's turn things over to Pastor Robbie to explain more. Again, Acts 6, 1-7 is our text, and a message entitled, Get Your Priorities Straight.
In a place where you're feeling resentment, but you talk to the person and you actually engage them in conversation, all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was. Well, that person's not even remotely the person I thought they were. And then all of a sudden, Satan's like, oh, no! Because Satan knows the moment you start loving each other is the moment. It's amazing how much love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, this can be applied on 100 different levels here today. And I'm telling you, man, the more we apply this with love in our church, the healthier this church will become. Like, you got to do it. Husband and wives, you got to do it. And families, you got to do it. And friends, you got to do it. And coworkers got to do it. And small group members got to do it. And leaders got to do it. And staff got to do it. And elders got to do it. And pastors got to do it. Everyone's got to do it. Everyone's got to do it. And when that happens, man, wow, wow. I mean, Satan hates the fact that we're preaching on this right now too. And this kind of insight from this first verse, major, major tool of the enemy is this. In both directions, us thinking these things, but then us, again, others thinking them towards us. So some principle that we can gather from this, it's a bit of a rhyme, some alliteration to be helpful for you. It's like this, you ready here today? Don't resent, repent. And then vent, okay? But godly venting, okay? Just rhymed with repent and resent, okay? So yeah, don't resent. Repent, and then in a godly way, vent, like express love, communicate grace and love to those who are around you, powerfully going to cause our church to be mobilized in unity. So the early church has a legitimate problem. And the response now from the apostles is life-changing and is very critical. So number one, the problem. Number two, now we see this, the priority. Look at verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. It is not right, they said. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay, foundational verses, Hope Church right here. Foundational verses. Notice what's happening, okay? Step back far enough. Look, ready? Notice the clarity of their calling. Notice the power of their priorities. Notice the empowerment through delegation. Notice the importance of church organization. Notice the emphasis on godly character. All of that right here in these few verses, it is packed with spiritual protein. Notice too that due to this complaint, this is very telling, the apostles are immediately feeling the pressure to abandon their primary priorities. Look what Satan's trying to do here. How much Satan desires to use complaint and conflict to knock the apostles off of the clarity of their calling and the pursuit of dependence upon God and the ministry of the gospel, which is only found through the word of God. Let's pull it to our day. How many pastors have shown up on a weekend with a half-baked sermon? totally run out, unprepared and exhausted because they've been so overrun by programs and people problems throughout the week. And in many cases, in many churches, this is what happens, man. Got to fight against this every single week. In many cases, the few might be given attention, but the masses are neglected. That's not wisdom. That's not biblical leadership. That's not feeding the sheep of God. That's not loving the church of God either. But evidently, again, if you read into what's happening, evidently on some level, what the apostles were hearing in this complaint, because it's right in there, it's an inference, but it's also inherent to the text. On some level, they were hearing this, stop preaching God's word so much and come care for us. Why are you so consumed with the teaching of God's word when the obvious needs are right? Stop talking, start doing. Come on, apostles. Like they would be feeling legitimately this accusation coming at them. Because the way they respond is, look at verse 2. The way they respond is, it is not right. Saying, it's not right what you suggest. It's not right. I mean, how clear? It is not right. It is not right for us to give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. It is not right. It is wrong for us to abandon the greatest priority that we've been commissioned by Jesus Christ for the gospel. Irrefutable based on this text. Now, it's really important to clarify, the apostles were not too spiritual to serve tables. That would be contrary to Jesus' teaching all over the Gospels. Washing each other's feet and caring for the poor. What they knew by God's Spirit, though, if they're being asked to do something that will cause them to neglect the preaching of the Word of God, then they will be in sin. They will be missing out on the very source of power that even allows the church to even exist. The apostles by the Spirit, they knew the priority, the primacy, the power, the position, and the purpose of the Word of God. Here's what the apostles knew, again, as well as anyone ever. They knew we used this before. It's so encouraging. We use it again. They understand the Bible is like a seed that saves us. The Word of God's water that washes us, a fire that cleanses us, a hammer that shatters us, a sword that cuts us, like medicine that keeps us from the sickness of sin. Next slide. They understood here the Bible is like a mirror to reflect ourselves to show our sin. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a counselor, a forecaster. It's like milk that nourishes us, and it's like meat that satisfies us. The word of God is the sufficiency for our salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 makes us wise for salvation. The law of the Lord is what revives our heart. The word of God is living and active. If you take away the word, if the church neglects the word, the church will just falter and fail and become again futile in their attempts to see lives change. The apostles knew this. This is the importance and priority of their calling. The clarity of their conviction. Okay, ready? This is good. Their no will lead to a greater yes. And their no here is about to lead to greater empowerment of the church and to the equipping of the saints, which is God's design in the first place. Look at verse 3. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. Now, I love this, whether preaching or serving tables, I want you to see the emphasis here, filled with the Spirit and wisdom and character. So this is so important here. Notice this. Character and godliness is paramount, whether it's from food preparation or to the pulpit, everything in between. Character and godliness must be seen. From fruit prep to the pulpit, God wants his children to be those, again, growing in character, full of the Spirit and wisdom. And notice the highest priorities for the apostles here. Look at verse 4. They say, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Again, look at that word devote. Feel the power of their priority. See the conviction of their calling. How seriously did Jesus take the exhortation from Jesus after Jesus was raised from the dead and they're on the shore there? And 3 times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And every time after that, Jesus says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep every time. How seriously did Peter take that? And also we learn here, look at the order of verse 4. I think that's significant. How effective will preaching be without prayer? We will give ourselves, devote ourselves to the ministry or to prayer and then the ministry of the word. How effective will preaching of God's word be without the cries of the people for dependence upon God? Listen, there's a reason that Spurgeon, when he preached, he used to bang on the floor of his pulpit because the people downstairs in the church basement were praying and he'd be like, pray more. You got to pray. We need a church basement, man. Absolutely, eh? We need that. Be like, you got to pray right now. You got to pray. That would be so good. I mean, that's a reality sometimes when you're preaching, man. Help, you know. Come on, God. You got to help us here, right? There's a reason every week, literally almost every week, I send a prayer email to my prayer team on behalf of the services and the preaching and for our family, just because you just know you can't do it. There's a reason that every Sunday our elders gather twice to pray for the services. Before the 8:30 service and before the 5 o'clock service, there's a reason that our pre-service prayer team gathers in the same times, twice a day on Sunday to pray. The reason we pray on Monday, December 23rd at 6 p.m. for our Christmas Eve service is because if we don't pray, we just can't do it. We gotta pray. Prayer in the ministry of the word. See, this is where theology really helps us. Theology says, I can't change a single life. God can do whatever he wants to. You should ask him a few things then. You should ask him to do a couple of things for you. You know what I'm saying? It's the simple understanding of the power of the theological process of understanding dependence and prayer. Can I ask you a question then? Why is it that so few of us actually pray? How come our prayer ministry in this church is so bleak in terms of often attendance? Well, man, you can compare this church to others and you say, man, we got hundreds showing up on a monthly basis. I mean, massively encouraging. But here's what I know all the time, man. There's a lot more people who can get involved. And you say, well, why is that not happening? How come so few of us are praying in our homes? How come so few of us pray in our marriages? How come so few of us pray with our love? How come so few of us come up for prayer after the service? Well, you could say, well, a lot of people do that. I know, that's pretty awesome. But it could be a lot more. How come... I mean, because you guys, the question be like, well, why is that? Because we have bad theology or we have good theology that we don't apply. Again, man, I just want us to be able to at least, I'm not afraid of conviction. I'm not afraid of repentance. I just need it so much. And what we're seeing here is disciples, man, they're setting on the priority to be like, man, like, listen, if we're going to do anything, we got to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. William MacDonald, he said this is so good. They made it a point to speak to God about men before speaking to men about God. Yeah, they really did make it a point, didn't they? Because they knew the proper course of theology and reality. Think about it. If I ask you this question, how would you answer? What are the two non-negotiable, most important, essential gifts the Lord has given to his church? What are the, don't say anything out loud right now. What are the two most important gifts that the Lord has given to his church? Absolutely essential. Top two ever. Answer, number one, the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Word of God. Without question, nothing else comes close. Two most important gifts he's given to his church. Holy Spirit, Word of God. So listen, prayer calls upon the dependence of the Holy Spirit. Preaching, the ministry of the Word, is 100% reliant upon the Word of God, again, written by God in the Gospel of God. So who's listening to this right now? If you want to guarantee yourself to be in God's will, and if you want to guarantee on the path to blessing, I didn't say ease, I didn't say comfort, I didn't say everything you wanted, but the guaranteed path of God's blessing, you start here, prayer, ministry of the word. Guaranteed God's blessing upon your life as God decides. If we're not filling our lives with prayer and the ministry of the word, how then can we expect to know the joy and the peace and the power and the strength of God when the top two gifts of God to the church ever aren't even in our top 10? Stop complaining, man. The answer's clear. That makes us very, very dumb. God is so clear, and we neglect the very source of power and truth upon our lives. Sometimes I love pointing out things that are so immensely obvious that Satan's so clever at distracting us from and getting us off. You know, sometimes the appetizers can distract us and desserts can tempt us. The main course is meant to sustain us and nourish us. We must devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And by the way, just right now, some pastoral transparency. You need to know that, you know, over the years, I've agonized at times with our church growth. Like, I really have agonized. I mean, it's been exciting. It's been thrilling. We're very thankful for the lives that have been changed. But when you go from 4 couples to 4,000, that involves a little bit of change. And at times, you know, like, it's just like my heart, honestly, my heart's yours right now. My heart has ached at times with the feeling and the knowledge that I'm letting people down. I mean, like, it's just when you are in a church of 100 people, I mean, that's just so different than a church of 4,000. And you had relationships in different ways and you had connectivity that you could have. And just like in those, I'm telling you, man, there's been many times, my wife, Jill, and I both, there's been so many times you are literally aware, I'm letting that person down, I'm not really doing, and just you agonize over the reality of how do I get through this, because you're just a person and you're just so weak, and yet you have this calling that you must fulfill upon your life. And maybe some of you can resonate with what I'm saying as well. That's been a source of great heartache for me over the years. But this is where this passage this week has been so life-giving and so encouraging, to say they battled with it too. And they had to know the priority of their lives and the calling of what God has called them to, because if they neglect the first thing, they have nothing. This text does breathe life into me. You got to know your calling. And again, to understand the body has been designed by God, not for a couple of leaders, but for the whole body to function as a body. It's so unfair to look up and to dedicate just a couple of people to do all these different things. Everyone together jumping in and serving and loving and being humble, not posturing for position, but just so grateful to be saved in Christ and serve one. That's when the church comes to life. I want you to know too, on an elder level, the conversation increasingly, just in light of the wisdom presented in Acts 6 here, the conversation increasingly is not what programs should we add to the church, but what programs should we cut. Now, hear me when I say that. It's just the understanding is we can never be distracted from what we're most called to. I think all of you would share this truth that sometimes so many churches are so filled with programs, they neglect the presence of God. Tozer said that. Never let the program take precedence over the presence. And the moment you start neglecting the presence, man, forget it, I'm out. The Lord help us be so clear and convicted as ever as to the power of priority upon our lives and church and leadership and where we're headed. The problem, the priority, and thirdly this, notice the provision. Look at verse 5 now. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, look what's happening here in these verses. Here we see the delight in delegation. We see the edification of empowerment. Notice this. I'm going to read this slowly because there's a lot here, but I want us to understand what's happening in God's wisdom here by the church obeying God. Notice the provision of these leaders. These things happen. Notice this. Giftedness is utilized. Leaders are multiplied. Church needs are met. The body is being cared for. Discipleship grows. Strength is diversified. Unity is strengthened. And callings are confirmed. All of this happens as the provision of new leaders rise up to take the roles that address the needs of the church at that time. I think when it comes to the heart of verses 5 and 6, I think as our church, as Hope Bible Church, that sometimes we've done this well, and sometimes we've done this quite poorly. I just want to be upfront about that. But again, I'm very encouraged by the challenges of the growth that the early church had and that we can really, really relate to. And it can really encourage us and say, we're not alone. This is such, again, this is such an encouragement for us here today. God's not giving up on us. And we can see more and more kind of the Holy Spirit work and improve and strengthen us. So maybe you're here right now and like we see the priority and we see the provision of a kind of new crop of leadership raised up to meet the needs again of the church in Acts chapter 6. You're kind of sitting here right now. And again, it's so easy to sit and spectate. That's the easy thing. Well, what do I do? Like, where do I start? Well, here at Hope Bible Church, we have a discipleship path that is biblically irrefutable, that is Holy Spirit inspired, and that is guaranteed to be a blessing and a path of blessing upon our lives. We call this the 5G life. I mean, I hope you know what this is, and maybe we got to talk about it more and more and more. The 5G life, why don't you look at this right here, okay? When this is being, by the way, this isn't like, oh, that's cute, 5G's alliteration. I mean, Hope loves to do that. But this is just biblical. This is a path. Everything is backed by scripture, by Christ himself. When this happens, we are guaranteed to be running at optimal health. Guaranteed. When each person does this, and I've always loved this metaphor of the tree. I've always loved this image. And we got to get it out in front of you a little more often. That's why we're doing it right now, okay? God time is abiding in Christ. That becomes the roots. That becomes the roots. And I wonder, even this morning, how many of us woke up seeking the Lord and had God time before we gathered here together? I'm like, God, please let it be over 50%, which is really low. I know the stats. Please, God. How many of us actually sought the Lord today when we got up? I mean, I was reading in my God time the last couple of days in 2 Chronicles. The difference, the single greatest difference of King Asa and King Jehoshaphat, it said over, they sought the Lord. They sought the Lord. You cannot overstate the power of seeking the Lord, abiding in him, dwelling in his presence. God time leads to gather time. Y'all got here today, awesome. Gathering together as the church, gathering to pray, gathering to worship. The encouragement, again, just right now, the message you're hearing, the gathering of this time, what happens if you slept in today? What's up, live stream? Maybe you're slept in a little bit, but you're watching or watching at least. That's not bad, right? 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 But you're here. What happens if you sleep in and you miss us? The truth that you're hearing by God's Spirit and God's Word, you're missing. And you lay on the couch and watch a little more on TV, whatever, and you're gonna, you know, evolve into nothing, right? Right? And gather time and group time, getting together with groups in the church and discipleship. And group time leads to gift time, using my giftedness, stewarding my resources or God's resources upon my life, and go time for the gospel. When these 5Gs are happening, it is a guarantee you'll be pursuing health. Notice, I didn't say again, easy. I didn't say without trial, probably guarantees more trial. Probably guarantees, because now Satan's afraid of you. When we're all doing this, this church will be moving towards optimal health. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me, but we can hold each other accountable and we can love each other. I'm telling you, man, you know, even right now, I felt this in the first service and Holy Spirit reminds me again. Who here right now, who here, like the Holy Spirit right now speaking to you and saying, man, it's time for you to get in the game. Been on the bench way too long, man. You've been too lazy, to be honest, lazy. Who is the Holy Spirit speaking to right now? Holy Spirit's like, I'm speaking to you, whether he does it or not, who knows, you know, whatever, but the Holy Spirit saying, hey, listen, the Holy Spirit right to you right now, man, one-on-one. The Holy Spirit's like, come on now, let's go. Come on, come on. 5G life, you know it's true. You know it's real. You know it's right. Come on now. Don't get to the end. So many will, even believers, they'll get to the end of their life and stand before God and God will be like, man, I gave you 5 talents. What'd you do with it? I buried it in the ground. What'd you do that for? I told you exactly what to do with it. And you'd be like, biggest regret of your life. Come on now. Don't just sit on the, easy to sit in the bleachers, man. Pretty easy to do that. We want to help you. Want to love you in that. Let's go. Everyone doing their part, man. It gets pretty exciting. Lives start getting changed. It's amazing. So we have the problem, the priority, the provision. How much you want to bet the fourth one starts with a P. All right, number four, this, the progress. The progress, look at verse 7, love verse 7. Okay, don't miss this, okay? The early church, obedient to their calling, well-organized and led, but look at how God honors this. Verse 7, you think this is here by accident? No. And the word of God continued to increase. Notice, the word of God, because the word of God wasn't neglected. You know how many churches aren't even preaching the word of God anymore? Well, good luck at the word of God increasing when you don't open the book. Good luck with that. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied. Notice the connection there. The word of God is preached and people get saved. Wow, imagine that. And then look at this. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Now, that's not insignificant. The last time we heard about the priests, man, they're the ones just wanting to kill all the apostles, ones who killed Christ. And now the Bible's telling us that some of even the priests of the religious order are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That's incredible. That's incredible. That's awesome. Look what God's doing. He's sending us such an encouragement now. He's, listen, man, you're obedient to me. You get your priorities in place. You're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, the word of God's going to increase. People are going to get saved. And I will do more than you could have asked or imagined, Ephesians 3. There'll be people like priests, the religious opposers of the gospel. They will even come to Christ. We will see miracles in our midst. If you trust in me, love me, are obedient to me, and are faithful to what I've called you to do, the things I will continue to do for my own glory, God says. I'm looking for a few faithful men and women and children who will have their priorities straight. Their priorities straight and their lives on mission and their hearts and minds renewed and their hearts filled with affection. Get your priorities straight. What are the things that we could see? What are the things? We've seen so much. Listen, 4 services, we have 1,000 seats to fill with salvation. 1,000 seats to fill in salvation. We gave out hope cards last week. We have Christmas Eve cards. We have lives to testify to the glory of Jesus Christ. I got to do that in part again this past week. Wasn't even really expecting it. Just happened. Conversation led to that. It really surprised me. And all of a sudden, just there it was. And in that moment, they're like, okay, deep breath. Here we go. Testify to Jesus Christ. It's pretty encouraging. But it's going to take more than a couple of us. It's going to take all of us. Come on, Lord, help us. Help us. Get your priorities straight. Let's go, church. Get your priorities straight. What needs to change? What needs to go? What needs to come in? What needs to be reinforced? We're going to sing a song. This is a song of priority summarizing the book of Acts so far. Lord, at the end of the day, I want to follow you. At the end of the day, I want to follow you. Let's pray together, church. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm so encouraged this week by your text. I'm encouraged right now as I preach it for the second time. I just believe it's so right and so true. And I just love this example of the early church having their priorities, but then caring for those in need. I love the body stepping up. I love the variety of giftedness, but I love the calling. I love the calling for the gospel. And I love the multiplication we see. I love the miracle of priests being saved. And I pray as we sing this song even right now, Lord, you'll be using it that we can affirm. And church, use it, use it. Sing it, use it. Enjoy and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The priority of my life, the priority of my life is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we sing that now together. And I pray you'll give us joy as we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna